Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, there goes Lamar Jackson again. On a big run, 13-7 Ravens. Jets on the board last couple of minutes. Lamar Jackson with the read option pull. Whew. Breaking off a big, big, big gain. Actually, it was just for 12 yards. Sorry. I looked at the wrong thing. I thought I saw 44. It's at the Baltimore 44. Thought I saw a 44-yard gain. And then when I had a better chance to look at the replay, I could see, well, okay, that's why it was a 12-yard game. But Lamar Jackson, obviously, with that. Hey, Jamison Crowder with a touchdown from Sam Darnold for the New York Jets score. Lamar Jackson so far has a touchdown pass. Mark Ingram with a touchdown run. Lamar Jackson, 64 rushing yards on 5 carries now, long of 25. That may have been what I saw out of the corner of my eye. He's 4 of 5, 46 passing yards, a touchdown, and a 144.6 quarter. So much for the bad quad, huh? 13-7 Ravens. They're driving again at 11-2, looking to clinch the AFC North here on Thursday night football. All right, let's get to this, because I've got to get myself out of this tangled web of the whole point. I'm sorry, I'm just fascinated by it. I really am. I didn't think I was that fascinated by it, but I am. Maybe I'm more fascinated by how dumb people can be. You know, like, I've done some dumb things. That's pretty dumb. Whoever is guilty in this, that's pretty dumb. By the way, Portis, according to the Post, was not arrested, but he is expected to surrender. Carlos Rogers was indeed arrested and in Georgia this morning. So, you know, this didn't just come out of nowhere. They've been planning for all of this to happen. Merry Christmas, boys. All right, so let's get into this Anthony Rendon situation, right? So Anthony Rendon obviously signs with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 7 years, $245 million, no trade clause, you know, no deferred money or any of that stuff. So here we are wondering, well, how did this happen? And as best I can put it, and I know people have talked about this, right? But I think I tried to say this last night when we first got the news. 7245 is way, 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 way better than what the Nationals offer. Especially if we're talking about 7245, no deferrals, and no trade, right? 7245 straight up. As opposed to 7215, which was the highest of, like, the offer was, like, I guess between 210 and 215, I think Barry Svalbard said, and there was a portion of it that was deferred, and I believe, I don't know this for sure, but the reports and various people, not me, indicated that a good amount of it was deferred, like nearly half of it, if not half. Now, I don't have the exact offer in front of me, so I'm not going to make a huge deal out of that. But there was a, from what I understand, from what was reported, from what was mentioned, there was a significant part that was deferred. How it was deferred, how it was structured compared to Bryce's structure, that I don't know. Okay? I heard it was more structured like Max Scherzer's deferrals, but and not Bryce's deferrals, which were out to, like, you know, age 65 or whatever it was. So He's got a full no trade clause, no opt-outs, 7 years, $245 million. So we know that's at least $30 million more than what the Nationals were offering. Okay? And if you divide, the Nationals offer was a seven-year deal, right? So if it's a maximum of 30, just say it was 215.7, okay, because that was the max that was reported, compared to 7245, there's a $30 million difference right there. You take 7 into 30, right away we're talking about an extra 4.4 million dollars per year extra than what the Nationals reportedly last offered. We don't know if the Nationals made another offer. It hasn't been reported. I haven't heard that, but I don't know that. So that's what we're going with. So here's the thing. Of course Anthony Rendon should, could, would, was going to take the 7245. This was my point back when they made the offer. And everyone, including Steve Phillips, a former general manager who analyzes this stuff on Baseball Channel on XM Satellite Radio, told me I was crazy. I don't even know Steve Phillips. He was, you know, kind of getting after me on Twitter when I said it was not a disrespectful offer, but it was not a fair offer to Anthony Rendon. And this was an offer that was made before the playoffs. And I said 7 at 210 to 215 with significant deferrals was not even close to being market value. Not even close. And it turned out that this big dummy yelling at you on the radio was not only right, but I was even wrong in determining how far off the offer was. I mean, I was thinking, well, if they're offering 7 for 210, I must be overrating Anthony Rendon here. Now, again, remember, this was before the postseason. But I still thought Anthony Rendon would get at least 230, 235, 240, somewhere in that range. Just based off of having 124 RBI, being one of the best hitters in the game, being a pretty good third baseman, all of that. I didn't think his age was that prohibitive, especially ultimately now that he's going to the American League. But it turns out that I was even underestimating. I heard that Rendon was looking for 255. I heard that about 2 weeks ago. I heard that he was looking for about 255. I don't know if that's true or not. He got 245. Plenty of money, right? He can look for whatever he wants. But here's my argument. The Nationals' offer, I can't label it embarrassing because anytime you're talking about $210 million, whether some of it is deferred, some of it is not, half, 40%, whatever. I mean, there's nothing embarrassing about $210 million in terms of an offer. It's not embarrassing. That's not the right word. But what it was way, 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 way under market value. There's no chance that anybody could look in the mirror and say, you know what? $210 million or $215 million with 40% deferrals, 50% deferrals, whatever the deferrals were. Say 40%. Just use that as a round number. That's a fair market value offer, that he's not going to get more than that on the market. And there's another component to this that I'll get into next, right here on Overtime, that I found to be absurdly preposterous from the Nationals' perspective. Absurdly ridiculous. I'll explain that to you next. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, the Baltimore Ravens have scored again, and a two-point conversion. It is now 21-7, the Baltimore Ravens over the New York Football Jets. As the two-point conversion goes in, and the Ravens go up by 2 full scores. Lamar Jackson with another short throwing touchdown here on the Fan. I wanted to kind of circle back to this, okay? Anthony Rendon, I believe it was in August, but I could be mistaken, told Grant and Danny from the Nationals Dream Academy, which he was very involved in. You know, I think he was like asked, I heard it this morning on their show, like, is there a number or whatever that, you know, you guys need to get to? Or whatever. He's like, yeah, there's a number. He's like, you know, and there's some other stuff, and I'm loosely paraphrasing here. And he's like, they're aware of the number. They're aware of, you know, what needs to happen. You know, like he was, like everybody took Anthony Rendon as this like aw shucks, babe in the woods type guy that didn't care about anything or anyone and was just a robot and just swung the bat and just like could not fight for himself kind of and was just going to roll over and play dead and be happy. And I never took that as Anthony Rendon. I don't even know him that well. I don't even know him that well. But I could tell, you know, first of all, you got Scott Boras, not going to be an easy negotiation. Not that any negotiation is easy, but it's not going to be an easy negotiation, number one. But the one thing I have learned kind of about Scott Boras here over the last couple of years, dealing with Strasburg, dealing with Harper, dealing with Rendon, and even maybe dealing with, Garrett Cole. But specifically with the three Nationals, three very, very, very different deals. And he's always said, look, I work for my client. And I think it was Harper, maybe it was Rendon, I can't remember. It's like, Scott works for me. Like, I don't work for him. He works for me. Like, he gets paid handsomely in all these commissions, right? From all these deals. I mean, he's negotiated like $850 million worth of deals over the last 3 days. And he doesn't do it all by himself. Obviously, he's got an army of people, right? But one thing that I pretty much have come to is that Scott Boras kind of yields to his powerful clients. Bryce Harper said, apparently, I want a long, long, long-term contract. I don't want to go through this again. I want 10-plus years. Get me 13 if you can get me 13. I'll waive whatever I've got to get 13. Okay, done. Strasburg said, you know what? I've got interest all over the place. Dodgers, Angels, Philly, San Diego. I heard San Francisco got involved, to some degree. I want to stay in with the Nationals. They can't afford the number that I want, that I value myself at? Okay, let's do this. Instead of taking the deferrals, which they want us to do, we're going to take the deferral at roughly, I think it was $15 million per year. But instead of no interest, we're going to pay a 1% interest on that, which wasn't anywhere near as bad as the Bobby Bonilla deal that the Mets did. But Strasburg wasn't a dummy. He said, okay, I'll take the deferrals, but you're not going to get a totally interest-free loan, which is what Strasburg did the first time, which is what Scherzer did his time, and what has empowered the learners to do every time. They want interest-free loans, basically. They want to gain interest on that money that they have to front. They want to gain interest on that money while not paying interest. This time, they said, okay, if you're willing to significantly defer to make basically the contract worth $25 million per year right now, we will give you a 1% interest on that deferred money. So again, a very different structure than what Boras has done with both Strasburg and Scherzer and what he rejected and what he didn't try and do and get with Harper and Rendon. Okay? So we're finding that out now. The other thing that we're finding out is this. The Nationals not only do not value position players compared to starting pitchers, and not only do they not value bullpen compared to starting pitching, and managers, I don't think they value anything like starting pitching. I mean, there's starting pitching, and then there's everything else. And I know a couple of people like Grant and Danny have said, well, you can no longer believe that they're going to absolutely re-sign Trey Turner, Victor Robles, and especially Juan Soto. And I agree with that. I don't think you can believe that in any way, shape, or form. But here's the one point that I wanted to make that I think I teased kind of generically. I wonder when they made that offer to Rendon, and we don't know specifically when they made it, but I believe it was early September, maybe mid-September. I'm sure they cried and whined to Rendon and Boris about no TV money, bad crowds, 22,000, 23,000, 25,000 on Labor Day. They cried about this and about that and about how much they have to pay, obviously, for Rendon and Strasburg and in the future. And again, no TV money and the fans don't show up and wah, 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 wah. I bet you that pissed off Rendon. And I bet you Rendon, remember the couple of times he said in interviews on Masson or even, I think, on this station with Craig on the field, hey, we need you, get out here. We need you guys to be here. Buy some tickets, essentially. I guarantee you, he was like, wait a second. They're offering me that with all these deferrals, and they're crying wolf. And again, I'm speculating here, but this makes, to me, sense. The offer was low, way low. Way lower than he wanted. And with significant deferrals, which is apparently what he was referring to in that Grant and Danny interview. They know. I wonder if Rendon was a little salty at them already about that offer or about if the offer hadn't officially come in yet, what word was being given to them, and basically that they were crying wolf about not having the fan support and not having the TV money and not having the big revenues that the big market teams have, like the Angels, like the Dodgers, like the Houston Astros, like the New York Yankees, like the Boston Red Sox, like the Chicago Cubs. I wonder. I don't know that, but I do wonder because Rendon was a little salty and he was a little flippant about it. Now, maybe he was just salty about the deferrals. I don't know. But it seems like he was taking it a little bit out on everyone. And he probably has a right to do that. It struck me when I heard all this no deferral, whatever stuff. All right, when we return, if you want to hop on in, 800-636-1067. Also, Darius, are we going to do the spot that I asked? We have that ready to go? Can we do that next segment? Oh, let's do that. Let's hear from the voice of the Nationals, Charlie Slows. He was a guest of Chad Dukes versus the World. We'll do that next, so we'll get Charlie's perspective after Jeff Arnold's latest Sports Flash. But let's hear from Charlie Slows. He was a guest of Dukes this afternoon. The voice of the Nationals, who, of course, authored that Game 7 World Series call. And after some banter between the two, which we'll skip ahead from, Dukes asked about the deferrals and why the Nationals insist on it, and is that commonplace in Major League Baseball?
The deferred money stuff, it comes up a lot. How big of a factor is that? And is that something that lots of baseball teams try to work into so many of their big-time deals that they pull?
Well, yeah, I would guess probably more than we think. because there is this luxury tax threshold, and I know that doesn't I don't think the deferred money factors into that, but it allows the club to spread things out. Some guys have looked at it as being able to spread out tax burden on money that they're earning over a longer period of time by deferring the money and taking it later, you know, when they're making less than they'd be making now. And so you'd pay less tax than on getting smashed with all that in, say, 1 year. Everybody's different. I mean, some guys don't want to play in California because the taxes are so high. But I guess when you're in the $245 million range, you're probably not worried about California state taxes too much anymore. Yeah. I think it's harder when your team just won the World Series and you're so close to being, you know, removed from that, that it's tough to see, you know, arguably your best position player, one of the best players on your club, one of the best players they've ever had, go to another club. Obviously, it's not as tough as seeing him go up the road to Philadelphia and play for an arch rival. They will see him for three games in May, but it's kind of like you've gone abroad and you're playing in Europe because they don't play the Angels other than those three games every 3 years and one time in every 6 years that they would come to Nationals Park. So, you know, his contract's 7 years. If he plays all those years, maybe he makes, you know, a visit and one visit to Nationals Park the rest of his career, unless it's the World Series.
How much is the blow softened? Because, you know, we heard Braves, we heard some of these other, I mean, to me, that's the Harper stuff. You're going to have to see him 16, 17 times right. a year for the next 12 years. The fact that A, you won a World Series and B, he's in California. How much does that soften this blow, Charlie?
I mean, it's tough. We'll see how they replace him. They mean, ultimately, you know, that's how it is. Extremely popular player, likable guy, great teammate, great in the clubhouse. I mean, he checked all the boxes. And a terrific fielder, terrific clutch hitter. That's a tough blow, especially off a career year for him. And when he was so instrumental in helping this team win it all this year, the fact that he goes to the American League, you're just not going to see him very much. You know, if you go up to Baltimore, you can see him play the Orioles one series of the year there, and the Nats will play him once in Anaheim and won't play him again for another 3 years. So that'd probably be the next time you see him at Nationals Park, you know, unless it's the World Series.
Charlie Sloz, of course, joins me in Chad Dukes versus the World at Charlie Sloz, Nationals radio play-by-play voice. All right, so now that we know the way that this panned out, when the owner comes out and says we can afford one and then we can't afford the other one, and then a couple days later Strasburg gets signed and then a couple days later Rendon is gone, that whole process and having that kind of hovering out there as Mike Rizzo's trying to do his job, what do you make of that, Charlie? I mean, do you have a problem with that? A lot of people like the transparency of the ownership group coming out and saying something like that, but everybody also kind of knows they could afford both of these guys if they wanted them. What do you make of the way this thing unfolded?
Now, Mark Lerner owns the team. He said a similar thing last year with Bryce Harper when the team was at spring training, that, you know, thought that they moved on, and, you know, that reports that said that they were still involved were really not accurate because they hadn't talked to his camp since December. And that turned out to be true, that they weren't involved. You know, in this case, you know, Mike Rizzo is always going to say he never closed the door on anybody. And he thought that after Strasburg's deal was done, that maybe there was still a door open. Mark Lerner's comments were before they signed Strasburg and maybe didn't know all the parameters of that deal. But, you know, ultimately, I think it comes down to what the player really wants and what's most important. Steven Strasburg liked where he was and didn't want to go anywhere else. He had the option to opt out of his contract and get a better deal, and he did. He had deferments in the previous deal. It's being reported there's deferments in this deal. So it all comes down to, from, I guess, a player's perspective, what's most important to you. And in the case of Bryce Harper, he didn't want to have any deferments in his deals. And, you know, Anthony Rendon didn't apparently want it to have any of it in his deal either. And, you know, when you're 30 years of age and you're Anthony Rendon going into next year and you can get a 7-year deal, this is it. This is the last big deal of his career. And, you know, maybe that was more important to him than where he played those years in that deal. Not that he's, you know, Southern California is not a bad place to be. The weather's great in Anaheim. He's going to be on a pretty good team with if they get some more pitching. He's playing with a pretty good lineup of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and Albert Pujols and some of their young prospects coming. I don't know that that's a team that's ready to win right away because they are pretty short in pitching. And for the Nationals, they feel they're still pretty really strong pitching-wise. And, you know, if they bolster the bullpen, bring back Daniel Hudson, add another piece or two there. But they got to figure this out. I think we're probably going to see Carter Kieboom in a combination of somebody else play second base. But third base is a big spot to fill one way or another.
Yeah, it certainly is. Where do they slot in now, Charlie, when you look at the division? And, I had Brian Kenny on earlier, and he said, hey, it feels very much the same as it did at the start of the 2019 season as far as the top of this division. Clearly they can compete, but it's going to be difficult. And, you know, they're going to be able to go out there and make a move, whether it's Donaldson, whether it's, you know, Brian, God forbid, you make a trade to see how that takes place, or whether Carter Kieboom slots in. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be able to hit, and they have that starting pitching, which is going to be excellent if everyone stays healthy. How do you think they look moving forward now that we kind of know where these two big pieces, where this whole thing shook out?
Yeah, if you can replace Rendon with somebody like Donaldson, and for me, Donaldson going into Atlanta on a one-year deal, he's been a health risk with the injuries he had the years before with the calf injuries in Toronto. So how much are you willing to commit? You know, and there's several teams interested in him. But if he's healthy, he produces and he picks up a chunk of the slack that you would lose in Rendon, and is a really good defensive third baseman as well. I think then you're in a similar place to where you were last year, filling out your roster. That it's a team that you expect to compete to be able to win a division. The Braves lose Donaldson, that hurts. How do they replace him? You know, are they taking a step back? They've added a lot of pieces in their bullpen, so they may be better that way, but I don't know if their starting pitching is going to be a whole lot better than last year. Some of the young pitchers may improve. They added Cole Hamels, who had a terrible last two-thirds of the season after a really good first third or so for the Cubs last year. I don't know that the Phillies are better yet. The Mets have added a bunch of pitching pieces. Phillies added a pitcher from the Mets rotation. So, you know, I think you're jockeying for position, but I still think the Nationals and the Braves are the two teams that are closest to the top of the division, and then the Phillies, and then the Mets, and then the Marlins, of course.
What do you think the Angels are going to look like next year?
They've got to add more pitching. Yeah. If they do, they may have a shot to compete for the division. I mean, we don't know. With the Astros losing Gerrit Cole, are they going to take a step back? We don't know what kind of penalties they're going to get, whether they're going to actually affect field of play for their games or, you know, for the investigation into what they've done with the cameras back from 17 on forward, whether that's just going to be fines and maybe some suspensions of front office people, loss of draft picks or international bonus money. None of that may affect the team on the field this year for them. But, you know, depending on what Oakland does, because they always seem to make a bunch of short-term moves that make them competitive to move up in that division. But if the Angels can bolster their offense with pitching, they lost 90 games last year. They need to make a big jump to really be at the top of that division or compete for a wild card.
Certainly do. All right, Charlie, I'm going to put you on hold. I want you to get Brock's email address, and then if we could get that new and updated and fully accurate ID recorded, that would be tremendous.
Well, Vic knows where. I can send it to Vic. I send stuff to Vic all the time.
Yeah, you and I share custody of Vic at this point, I think.
That's true. Well, no, wait. We do. It's very temporary because he's getting married next month, and then all bets are off.
Oh, my God. We're going to end up back in the courthouse as we're all fighting over full custody of Vic Ferreira, and that's not where I want to be.
All right, that's Charlie Slows, the voice of the Nationals, on earlier today with Chad Dukes. Here on The Fan. We played back part of that interview just now. If you want to hear the entire radio interview, go back on theradio.com and the app and the rewind button. You will never, ever, 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 ever miss another moment. If you want to listen to the first part of our show, you can do that as well. We talked a lot of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and Clinton Portis, of course, and all. So You can do that at the radio.com rewind feature. So let's get to Chris in Hyattsville before we run out of time here. Chris, I got about 3 minutes or so for you. Go right ahead. I'm sure I'm wrong about something. Go ahead and tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Well, first of all, I was originally calling in because I wanted to see if you noticed the football game and the tight end, how much the Ravens and the rest of the league are using the tight end. The Redskins have to find a tight end.
Yes. No, that we absolutely agree with, because you cannot go another minute trusting that Jordan Reed is going to stay healthy. And I love Jordan Reed. You just can't. You can never, ever, 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 ever count on him again.
He hasn't been healthy since he signed that contract. Yeah. But anyway, then I heard you talking all of this nonsense about the loaners, so I had to call in.
Right, of the nonsense, yes.
All right. First of all, you said that there are certain people, I'm assuming me, that won't accept reality. And you're suggesting that the learners have done this and everybody knows it and this is just how they behave and they want to defer money because they don't want to pay players, right?
I mean, basically, yes. I mean, all of their actions are exactly
you,
that.
You and Grant and Danny are also, at the same token, refusing to accept the financial reality of the Nationals franchise. Okay, this is a team who has won as many baseball games as any other team in baseball since 2012, except the Dodgers, yet their attendance dropped 4 slots last year to 16th in the league.
Right.
Mind you, during a year in which they eventually made it to the World Series.
Right.
So they were playing, from May on, they were playing high-quality baseball.
Yes.
And still couldn't draw fans, okay? Their television ratings were down last year. Earlier on this season, the Orioles were outdrawing them on television in Baltimore. That's a team that lost 108 games. Oh, and by the way, the Nationals split revenues from the television contract with the Orioles.
Yes.
They don't get so of the low ratings that they already have in this market, they have to split what pitiful revenue they get from that with the Baltimore franchise.
Right.
Okay? So you've got a team that's declining in attendance. You've got one of the lowest World Series of all time, which means the overall winner's share this year was much lower compared to some other years in the past when it was in excess of $40 million. Okay? Right. So the Nationals are behind the eight ball when it comes to the TV deal, the rate, the attendance. And we're not a premier market. This is not Los Angeles. This is not Boston.
Yes.
Okay. Yet, so all of these things, anytime someone mentions these hardships that the franchise as a whole and the learners face, you immediately dismiss them because Ted Lerner is a billionaire.
Well, Chris, you and I go back and forth, and I'd love to argue more with you, but unfortunately I'm up against the clock, so I'm just going to have to let you go. But I would just say this. I understand what you're saying. I understand that they just don't print money down there. I get it. I get all the reasons, all the excuses. But there is a way. If they want to do it, they could do it. They don't want to do it. That's the problem. Or that's the point. That's why everybody gets aggravated. They can do it. They choose not to do it. Not that they can't do it. They choose not to. Thanks to Darius. Thanks to everybody who listened. Adios on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.